As Catholics, when conversing with our Protestant brethren, very often we are challenged on various beliefs that the Catholic Church holds, and we can get caught off guard, because in dealing with Protestants, there's an assumption that is put forth that Catholics often do not challenge, though we need to, because the assumption is false. And that assumption is the belief in what is called sola scriptura, the idea that all Christian doctrine must be found in the Bible. And there are several reasons why this is false, which I will touch on in this video, but I have another video called Not by Scripture Alone, which goes into more detail than I will here. Now, in saying that the Catholic Church does not believe in Scripture alone is not to say never Scripture, or that we do not consult Scripture, or that if something is explicitly taught in Scripture or explicitly condemned in Scripture, that it is somehow not the teaching or not condemned. Scripture is inerrant. What we are saying is that an individual person's interpretation or group of people's interpretation of the Bible is not infallible. Only the Catholic Church's interpretation is infallible. Furthermore, not everything that the Christian must believe in order to attain salvation is in Scripture. Scripture does not say that, but in fact denies it, which we will get into. Christ did not write a book, he started the church, and that church is the Catholic Church, and the church gave us the Bible. That is what history says, actual history. I would like to point out that Protestant Bibles are missing some books. There are 7 books in the Old Testament, plus additions to Daniel and Esther, that are Scripture, because the Catholic Church says so. Just like the letter of the Hebrews, the letter from Jude, the book of Revelation, and the rest of the Bible are Scripture, because the Catholic Church says so. Those books and additions are not in Protestant Bibles, therefore Protestant Bibles are in error. We also have the problem with translation bias. If we look at the original Greek, which I will get into in a little bit, but if we look at a Greek word from the original text, that word can be interpreted in a variety of different ways. For example, in Luke chapter 1, the angel Gabriel says to Mary, "Hail," and the Greek word used here is ki keratomene. The root word of ki keratomene is keratu, which comes from the word charis, which is translated everywhere in the Bible as grace. But keratu can also be translated as a gift or a favor. So, "Hail, highly favored one," is a legitimate translation, but if we examine the word ki keratomene closely, we will see that "hail full of grace" is a better translation. Ki keratomene is a past perfect participle, and a very literal translation would be "hail she who was graced or gifted in the past and proceeds perfectly in that grace or gift." Notice that the gift or favor was done in the past, not something that is going to be done in the future. So this is not a reference to what would then be her future role as the Mother of God, at least not directly. So the idea of the Immaculate Conception fits very well here, something that Protestants desperately try to get rid of, and can be obscured with "Hail, highly favored one." We also need to take into account that the Bible, as we have it today, did not come into existence until the 4th century. So what did the Christians do for the first 300 years? Because during that time, there were writings floating around that some consider to be Scripture that did not make it into the Bible. And there are books and letters that are in the Bible that some did not consider to be Scripture. And I'm talking about the New Testament, not just the Old Testament only. Well, the answer to the question is tradition. What is tradition? Tradition is the teaching of Jesus Christ to the apostles and from the apostles to the faithful. Acts 2:41-42. So those who received his word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayers. Scripture can only be interpreted correctly through tradition, and the true tradition of the church can only be found in the Roman Catholic Church. We can tell that Scripture alone is false because of its fruits. The idea that anyone can pick up the Bible, read it, and come to the truth is proven to be false by the very fact that the people who believe and practice this cannot agree on what the true meaning of Scripture is. Now, they claim that they agree on the essentials. It's the non-essentials, the stuff that doesn't really matter, that they disagree on, but that's not true. Do you have to be baptized to be saved or not? Some say yes, some say no. Well, I consider that an essential. The fruit of Scripture alone is a perpetual and continuous dividing of the body of Christ. That's from the devil, not the Holy Spirit. because each person claims that the Holy Spirit is guiding them to the truth of Scripture, yet they can't agree. Now let's talk about this business of the originals. Often people will say, the original Greek says this or the original Hebrew says that. Let me tell you right now, we have nothing that comes close to the originals. The earliest complete Bible we have is in Latin. Other than that, for the New Testament, we have four codexes in the Greek that are partial. They are considered complete, but they are missing some things. And for the Hebrew, we have the Masoretic text, which dates to the 11th century. Back to the New Testament, other than the codexes, we have fragments. Now, I'm not saying that you can't trust your Bible, because some of these fragments, and there are thousands of them, date to the 2nd century, and when compared to modern Bibles, they're pretty close, with a few discrepancies, and those discrepancies are among the codexes and fragments themselves as well. But the Catholic Church is the reason we can compare these Bibles with the earlier sources, and they match up. So we have the Bible today thanks to the Catholic Church, because it decided what books would be in it, and because the Church preserved it through the centuries. But somehow the Church is ignorant of its true meaning, and every Tom, Dick, and Harry can interpret it properly. Now, when we examine the Scriptures, and don't just let a preacher pick verses out and present them out of context, one can see that the Catholic Church is right and the Protestants are wrong on this issue of Scripture alone versus Scripture plus tradition in the magisterium. A belief in Scripture alone indicates that there is no magisterium. Yet, we read in Scripture that Christ gave Peter the authority to bind and loose, as well as the apostles along with Peter, that same authority. The Pope is the successor of Peter, and the bishops are the successors of the apostles, and they inherited that authority. Now, Protestants will say that that authority went to everyone, and if two or three agree, it's binding. But again, that understanding has led to thousands of denominations who can't agree. And we see in Acts chapter 15 that when the issue of continuing the Mosaic dietary laws came up, Peter opened a council, and it was he and the church leaders who decided the matter, and that decision was binding on the rest of the church. Now, does the Bible proclaim Scripture alone? This is important because in order for Scripture alone to be true, Scripture must say so, or it fails its own test, and is thus a self-defeating proposition. And the answer is no, it doesn't. In fact, it denies it. Now, there are Scripture passages that are used to support Scripture alone, but upon examination, they fall apart as support for Scripture alone. Notice I'm stressing the alone part. The Catholic Church does not say never Scripture or no Scripture, just that Scripture alone is an error. Now, I'm not going to cover every Scripture used to support Scripture alone, just the main ones. First, the Bible is not a book. It is a collection of books in one single volume. So any reference to this book means that book, not the whole thing. For instance, Revelation 22, 18 and 19. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to them, God will add to them the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the prophecies of this book, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. That is talking about the book of Revelation. And any reference to adding or subtracting from the Word of God cannot be used as proof of Scripture alone, because the Word of God does not come to us through Scripture alone. The Bible has to say Scripture alone. So what about do not go beyond what is written, 1 Corinthians 4:6? Now, I don't want to get lost in the weeds on this, which is easy to do. And while your Protestant friend might bring this up to you, if you watch debates between Catholics and Protestants on Sola Scriptura, the Protestant side never does. And that's because do not go beyond what is written does not have to mean do not go beyond Scripture. And when we take it in context, it's clear that it doesn't. Divisions were creeping up among the members of the church in Corinth based on who was instructing them. One would say, I belong to Paul, another, I belong to Cephas. They were being puffed up with pride over who brought them into the church. Paul was rebuking them, saying, therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive commendation from God. I have applied all of this to Apollos and myself for your benefit, brothers and sisters, so that you may learn from us not to go beyond what is written, so that none of you will be puffed up in favor of one against another. Not beyond what is written could mean what they had been written concerning leaders of the church, which would make sense given the context, or the Book of Life. Again, given the context, it would make sense. In other words, if a person's name is in the Book of Life, that's good enough. Some translations read, what is meant by the saying, or what is meant when it is said, do do not go beyond what is written. And some say this was a saying like, don't count your chickens before they hatch, or don't tread on me. It is also thought to have meant don't go overboard, or don't go beyond what you've been taught. Or Paul could be referring to their childhood when they were learning to write. They would trace the letters and be told not to trace outside the lines. The passage can also be translated, not above the line. Since it is past tense, it could mean stick to what the Old Testament says about being puffed up with pride. Or it can mean the scripture passages he cited in his letter up to that point. By the way, these are all explanations given by scripture alone Christians who do not believe this passage means do not go beyond scripture. The simple fact is we do not know what not beyond what is written means. Acts 17:11. The Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Now many will say, see, these Jews were more noble because they read scripture. But is it because they read scripture? Look again, they were more noble for receiving the message, the oral tradition that was given to them by Paul, the magisterium, and searching the scriptures to see if what Paul said was true. In other words, Paul would say, the book of Isaiah says this, the book of Psalms says this, etc., etc., showing that Jesus fulfills all these prophecies from the Old Testament. The Bereans searched the scriptures to see if they did indeed say what Paul said. This scripture passage proclaims oral tradition, magisterium, and scripture, the Catholic view. But here's one that does seem to talk about what happens with scripture alone. John 5:39. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they who testify on my behalf, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. Because these Pharisees were so caught up in scripture, they missed what was right in front of them. 2 Timothy 3:16. Now this is the one that Protestants will die on. If there's a scripture passage that they say proves scripture alone, it's this one. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. Now, this passage certainly sings the praises of Scripture, but it does not say Scripture alone. It says that Scripture is useful. It does not say it is all you need. Let's look at a few passages before this. 2 Timothy 1:13. Hold to the standard of the sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 3:10. Now you have observed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my patience, my love, my steadfastness. Verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. And verse 15, and how from childhood you have known the sacred scriptures that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. Here, Paul tells Timothy to adhere to his teaching, his oral teaching, and scripture, specifically the scripture he knew from infancy, which would be the Old Testament. So here we have Paul telling Timothy to adhere to his oral teaching, tradition, given by Paul, the magisterium, and scripture. Again, the Catholic view. But here are some other verses that show that the Word of God is not transmitted by scripture alone. 2 Peter 3, verse 2. That you should remember the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken through your apostles. 1 Corinthians 15:1 and 2. Now I should remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaim to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaim to you. 2 Thessalonians 3:6. We command you, beloved, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to keep away from believers who are living in idleness and not according to the traditions that they received from us. 1 Corinthians 11:2. I commend you because you remember me in everything and maintain the traditions just as I handed them on to you. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. We also constantly give thanks to God for this, that when you received the word of God that you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as what it really is, God's word, which is also at work in you believers. Hebrews 13:7. Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Here we have confirmation that the oral teaching is the word of God. Now at this point, people will say, yes, the word was preached, but all of it was also written down in the Bible. Okay, prove it. You have the burden of proof. I find it interesting that these letters always refer to the oral teaching but never say what it is, just that we are to adhere to it. For example, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, let us go on towards perfection, leaving behind the basic teaching about Christ, and not laying again the foundation, repentance from dead works and faith towards God, instructions on baptism. Instructions on baptism. Remember when I said earlier that the Bible Alone crowd was not in agreement as to whether or not you needed to be baptized to be saved? Well, not only that, but can you baptize infants? Do you have to be immersed, or is pouring water sufficient? Do you baptize in the name of Jesus, or the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? These are all points of disagreement among Scripture Alone Christians. The reason they disagree on baptism is because the Bible is not clear on these points. Yet the author of Hebrews believed the instructions on baptism have been given so thoroughly that it's not worth mentioning. So where are the instructions on baptism in Scripture? If they were there, there wouldn't be these disagreements. Are you telling me the instructions on baptism referred to in Hebrews simply didn't cover these topics? Well, then they're hardly instructions, are they? Or the more likely answer is these instructions do have the answers and are part of the oral tradition not found in Scripture. If everything is written in Scripture, Scripture must say so, and it doesn't. In fact, it says the opposite. John 20, verse 30. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. 1 Corinthians 11:34. If you are hungry, eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for your condemnation. About the other things, I will give instructions when I come. 2 John 12. Although I have much to write to you, I would rather not use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk with you face to face, so that our joy may be complete. 2 Thessalonians 2:15. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by word of mouth or by letter. This passage proves that not everything we are to hold as true is in the Bible. Paul says these teachings were handed down both by word of mouth and by letter. And notice he calls these teachings, as do many of the other ones I've already cited, tradition. Consider this, 2 Thessalonians 2, 3-5. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first, and the man of lawlessness, who is the Antichrist, is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you this? And you know what is restraining him now, so that he may be revealed in his time. So let me ask you, what is restraining the Antichrist? Paul says that he told the Thessalonians and that they know what it is, but it is not revealed in Scripture. You can only find the answer in tradition. You see, the Bible was never meant to be the sole source of doctrine. It was never meant to replace the human authority Christ himself established. The Catholic Church did not set out to formulate the Bible saying, let's decide what writings will be in this book so everyone can draw their doctrine from it. That was not the purpose of formulating Scripture in the Bible. The purpose was to determine what readings were appropriate to be read during the liturgy. So if we look at what Scripture is really telling us, it's this. Christ established a church. He appointed leaders to that church and one man to be the head of that church. We know that this leadership was passed down to each generation. 2 Timothy 2:2. And these things you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Titus 1:5-7. For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and shouldest ordain priests in every city, as I also appointed thee. If any be without crime, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be without crime, as the steward of God. Notice this church has bishops and priests, and it is they, along with the one man that Christ put in charge, that settle doctrinal matters according to Acts chapter 15, and that decision is binding on the rest of the church. We also know that the leaders of this church spoke the word of God, and some of that teaching was written down as Scripture, and some was not. So we would expect that this one true church that is ran by priests and bishops, with one man at the top, could trace its roots back to the apostles and would have doctrines that are not explicitly found in Scripture. That sounds an awful lot like the Catholic Church to me. Until my next video, God bless.